This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to A Juz A Day. Today we are covering the 26th Juz of the Quran. Inshallah, we will be finishing our study on the Friday. Today is Monday. We'll be finishing our study of this Quran on Friday. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, today the 26th, Tuesday the 27th, Wednesday 28th, Thursday 29th, and Friday, inshallah, we will finish at with the 30th Juz. We will have a couple of guests joining us, inshallah, on Friday. I'm super excited to have them, and inshallah, it should be an awesome ending. We will go a little longer on Friday, but I'll announce all those details once they are all fully confirmed, so stay tuned for that. But today, we have the 26 Juz with us. The 26 Juz of the Quran begins with Surah Al-Ahqaf, which is the 46th Surah. Then it has Surah Muhammad, the 47th Surah. Then Surah Al-Fath, which is the 48th Surah. Surah Qaf, which is Surah Hujurat, the 49th Surah. And then Surah Qaf, the 50th Surah. It also has a little bit of Al-Dhariyat, the 51st. The 51st Surah, though, we will cover tomorrow, inshallah, because the whole, with the 27 Juz, it flows better with that. So today we have Surah number 46 to Surah 50 to cover, inshallah, and that is in the 26th Juz. The Surah Ahqaf, Al-Ahqaf, is the last of the Hamims. It's the seventh Hamim, the last of the seven Hamims. And these surahs, as we have spoken about in the last little while, are surahs that were revealed in Mecca when the Muslims were a minority. The Prophet ﷺ had not migrated yet. The Muslims did not have control or power yet. They were still largely under a oppressive situation, living under oppression. So this is a beautiful, these are beautiful surahs to talk about because they talk about how to call people to Allah, how to do da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are still minority, even if you don't have dominance and power and control, how to do it and why it is especially important. And Surah Al-Ahqaf continues that theme and wraps it up. And keep in mind also, this is the primary audience of this was the people of Mecca, the people of Quraysh, and then the people afterwards. So the Quraysh are central here. All the Hamims, the Quraysh are like their problems, their behavior, their accusations, they're highlighted more than in other parts of the Quran. This is really the main target audience. But as I have explained, this is not something that is restricted to only Quraysh. Everybody, it is very applicable to the rest of us as well, particularly those of us who live and experience a similar type of situation today. With that said, we look at how the surah begins. The surah begins with Hamim, Tanzilul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. Hamim, this book is sent down from God, the Almighty, the Wise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proceeds to go. This is, as you've noticed, the highlighted part in red is the one that repeats. And that's a beautiful thread that runs through all the Hawamim, right? This is the thing that, unifies all of them. And that is why it's highlighted in red here. Now, the main topic here that's going to be discussed is how Quraysh are heedless and how they will make all of these really, really pathetic, lame excuses. Allah says, we created the heavens and the earth and all that lies between them purely for just ends. Bilhaq. Purely for just ends is not a great translation. A better translation is, we created the sky and the earth, the cosmos, with a purpose. It is truthfully from Allah. It has a creator in truth. It has a purpose in truth. Wa ajali musamma, and it's not for an eternity, it will be for a specific or a specified term. All of this will come to an end. The creation should be leading us to think about the resurrection. And that is, as you've noticed, a consistent theme of the Quran. But those who reject faith, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ, who have rejected faith, they turn away from what they have been warned of. And here, the ones who are rejecting the faith are the people of Quraysh, but the ayah applies to anybody who has the same attitude, the same behavior, the same thought process as the people of Quraysh. What is it that they say about the Prophet and about Islam and about the validity of the da'wah, the invitation to Islam? Well, they say, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. Has he, like, he's fabricated it. He's made it up. The Prophet ﷺ is not a real prophet. He's just making this stuff up. Okay, now Allah responds to that. قُلْ إِنْ افْتَرَيْتُهُ. If I have fabricated it myself, then the following would be true. فَلَا تَمْلِكُونَ لِي مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. You will not be able to do anything to save me from God. If I'm lying about God, you know what? He is going to come and destroy me. Okay? You won't have to do anything. Right? I'm toast anyway. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تُفِيضُونَ فِي. But that's not true. And you know that. Right? That's not happening. He knows quite well what talk you indulge in. He knows that you don't really believe that. هُوَ كَفَى بِهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. He's enough as a witness between me and you, and he is the forgiving and merciful. Now Allah pivots and explains that this idea of prophethood, it is new to you, O people of Quraysh, because you've never seen a prophet before. But you know what? قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I'm not the first of God's messengers. It's not a new thing. It's not a new phenomena. It is actually a historical phenomenon. وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. Also, as a prophet, I am not somehow a God who knows everything. No, I don't know what will be done with me or with you. I don't know the future. Okay? What am I? إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُحَى إِلَيَّ. I only follow what has been revealed to me. And I am only a warner. مَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. This is what a messenger is. So Allah addresses the root cause of what the Quraysh is concerned about. How could this person be a messenger? What, we've never seen messengers. How is he a human being and a messenger? How is he speaking to God or getting revelation from God? So all of those points are addressed, bit by bit. And Allah has addressed this point consistently. The Prophet is a human who receives revelation from Allah, and his revelation is clearly different and remarkably unique as a speech of God, and thus this messenger then does what? He follows what's revealed to him and he preaches what's revealed to him. And that is the role of the messenger, and that's what he's explaining to the people of Quraysh. Then he says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Have you thought, what if this Quran really is from God and you reject it? Have you considered this? إِن كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ. What happens if وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ. One of the children of Israel testifies to its similarity to earlier scriptures and believes in it. What happens if somebody who's not from Mecca, who hears this, and they have heard of prophets before, and they follow prophets before, Bani Israel, what if they verify this is actually the speech of God, and they believe, yet you, who the Prophet has lived with all these years, who is the son of the soil of Mecca, you people will reject him and a foreigner will believe him? How pathetic and how tragic would that be? وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. And you're doing this because you're arrogant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. As you can see, this is a very beautiful way to say, look, you guys know the Prophet ﷺ better than anybody else. You know he's not making it up. You know he's not crazy. You know the accusations you're saying about him are not true. And you know what? If you don't stop this, others will actually get this message and others will believe in it. And what shame would that be? Right? And that's a very interesting response that Allah highlights. As you can see here, the response here isn't so stern. As you notice in Surah 6, the response was very stern, because that was at the very end of the Prophet's period in Mecca. This is still not there. This is still reasoning and reasoning with good faith. Also notice, Bani Israel isn't always like a evil thing. Here, the children of Israel is used as an example in a positive light, something interesting for you to consider. If it was good, another interesting excuse. They say if it was good, if it really was true, then we would be the first to believe it. No one else would believe it before us. Bilal wouldn't believe before us, and Suhaib, and Ammar, and Khabbab ibn Arad. These guys won't believe it, wouldn't have believed it before us. You know, these guys are lowly, worthless people. How come they believed before we did? And this is a person who thinks very highly of themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not even a legitimate argument. Allah doesn't even dignify that with a response. He says, you know, since they are refused to being guided to it, their only response to it is that hadha ifkun qadim. This is an ancient fabrication. Because, you know, how arrogant is a person to think that they are so special that if there's something good in the world, the first person that good should go to is them. How arrogant is that? And when a person has that level of arrogance, generally they won't have the humility and humbleness required to accept faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights that by saying, you see, this is not actually a legitimate claim. And in response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam faced somebody similar who thought so highly of himself, he thought he was a god. Fir'aun. وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى إِمَامًا وَرَحْمًا. Okay? Musa's book did the same, like he faced the same problems. And now, وَهَذَا كِتَابُ مُصَدِّقٌ لِسَانًا عَرَبِيًّا. This is a book in the Arabic language. It's a clear, pristine book. It is, in line with what Moses brought. And it is to forewarn those who do evil, just like Moses alayhi salam did. And it's to give good news to the righteous, just like he did. So this is a beautiful, as you see, the surah very nicely links it together. And then speaks about the actual believers. The actual believers are the ones who have humility. They say, in Rabbun Allah, our Lord is Allah. And then they remain steadfast, and they have no fear, and they will not grieve. These are the people of paradise. You know, an incentive. This is how you should be, you know, get rid of, leave these, stop thinking so highly of yourself and start thinking more of the contents of the message. And then Allah will warn them about what happens if they don't listen to it. There's a tangent here about da'wah, right? Da'wah that's been spoken about. Now Allah just pivots a little bit to da'wah within the family. What happens when a person is giving da'wah to someone in their family? Here is example number one, the best case scenario of that. And then the worst case scenario of that. The best case scenario of it is, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We have enjoined on man kindness to his parents. His mother bore him وَأَكُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. She bore him in pain and gave birth to him in pain. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And his bearing and weaning takes 30 months. That's where we get the idea that if a pregnancy is 9 months, then the breastfeeding and nursing afterwards is for at most another 2 years. A total of 30 months, 24 months or so. So that is where we get that idea from. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. Then, حتى إذا بلغ أشده. Now this baby has reached his full maturity. وبلغ أربعين وبلغ أربعين سنة. He is now 40 years old. This is a grown adult man who is in the prime of his life. He says at this point, ربي أوزعني. My Lord, help me be grateful for your favors which you have bestowed upon me. Such a beautiful dua. I want you to note this and make this dua for yourselves and for your families. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. Oh my Lord, help me to be grateful for your favors which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents. Wa an a'mala salihan tardahu. And help me do good deeds that will please you. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. And grant me righteousness in my offsprings. And I kind of need this dua right now because they're yelling and screaming. Oh Allah, fix my kids for me. Inni tubtu ilayka wa inni minal muslimin. I submit to you. I have turned to you and I submit to you. Okay, this is such a beautiful dua, and this is the best case scenario of what happens in da'wah in family. A parent, a group of parents or parents raising their kids right, and their kids, they repay or not repay, they reciprocate the love for their parents by their dua and by their gratitude. And expressing that gratitude to Allah, making that dua to Allah, and making that dua for their parents and for their kids afterwards. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing, subhanAllah. It shows this is a family where, alhamdulillah, things went right. Da'wah went right. And that's what Allah says about them. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. These people, we will accept from them the best of what they do. وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. And we will overlook their evil, their bad, their mistakes. And they will be in the أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, among the people of paradise, all of them together. Da'wah went right in the family. You're all in paradise together. That's the best case scenario, right? You love each other in this world. You make dua for each other in this world. And then you are together in the next world. That is the best case scenario of da'wah in the family. We ask Allah to give us families like that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Wa'ada as-sidqi alladhi kanu yu'adun. This is a true promise that's been given to them. What's interesting here, people, is look at the subtle expression. Ulaika alladhina nataqabbalu anhum ahsana ma amilu. We will accept the best of what they do. What does this mean? Like, does Allah not accept the rest of what they do? No. What it means is that the reward of what they, the way they will be rewarded by Allah is according to the best action. So if they prayed, say this hypothetically, like 100 salahs, okay? The best salah of the 100 salahs, that is how Allah will reward them for all their 100. That is what it means. أحسن ما عملوا. SubhanAllah. That is the amazing mercy of Allah. It's not just that the average is now taken, or each salah has its individual reward, and that is how Allah will reward us, right? When He rewards us, inshallah, in Jannah, and weighs our deeds on the scale of on the scales on the Day of Judgment, the way they are weighted is the best action is then the weight of it is given to all the rest of the actions of that category. أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. And that applies to like all good deeds that we do. So how amazing is the mercy of Allah is that He's not even like, forget about rounding up. He's literally like taking the best of what we do and projecting it over the rest of our lives. And that is such an incredible, incredible blessing of Allah and such incredible mercy of Allah. We ask Allah to allow us to do more and more good in this life. And then do it in the best possible way. So our good keeps getting multiplied. The worst case scenario is the next two ayat. وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ. The one who says to his parents, أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا. Shame upon you. أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجْ. Do you threaten me with being taken out of the grave? وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِي. While many a generation has passed away before me, and none of them has risen from among them. The resurrection has never really happened. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهَ. And these two, while he's saying this, is these parents are crying for God's help. And they're saying, وَيْلَكَ آمِن. Believe. You know, what's wrong with you? إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. God's promise is true. فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. He says, these are nothing but ancient fables. Allah says about them, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلِ. It is again such that as these people, that the word of God has proved true. It is, the word of God here is the destiny that they're destined to live out. Along with those, the communities that went before them, jinns and humans, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. Surely they are the losers. And this is unfortunately the situation where da'wah in the family doesn't go well. The parents tried to raise the child. Their child did not, you know, the da'wah, the invitation was not received by the child. And then he turns around and becomes, in fact, the opposite. He turns around and starts to say, well, this whole thing is a asatirul awwaleen. These are old fables. What's interesting is, as you will see in the Quran, and if you no doubt you've noticed in the Quran doesn't just, you know, if it's talks about resurrection, it gives us parallels to consider about the earth that's dead and then it's brought back to life. Parallel of the seasons, how, you know, and in wintertime the plants die, you know, the shed leaves, and then brought back to life in the season of spring and then summer. Likewise, the parallel of our conception as children, as in the wombs of our mothers, as fetuses, and how that creation process happens from a drop of sperm. And before that, we were nothing. And then the other example is, consider how you start as a child, weak and helpless, become strong, and then end up becoming weak and helpless again. The Quran provides us with many, many types of examples. Examples that you can see, and there is an analogous, you know, situation that's to be extrapolated. Resurrection of the dead earth, resurrection of a dead human being. Okay? A logical example. You were created the first time, second time, your creation is even easier. You were created first time from a drop of sperm, second time your creation from the particles of dust would be just as equal, in fact, even easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Logical examples. Look at how your creation tells you about your resurrection. You are not going to live in eternity. In fact, the rest of the world also tells you about that the creation leads to resurrection. The Quran is so coherent with this message. It's so coherent. It doesn't just leave it to like a wild guess, or it doesn't just leave it to like a blind belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with enough evidences that should allow us to be convinced without having seen it. And that's the whole test of faith. And that is what this individual failed at. And that is what Allah is highlighting, where da'wah went wrong. And this is, wallahu a'lam, the case where it isn't explained in the family. What is faith really supposed to be? It is supposed to be in something that you can't see. Okay, but it's not supposed to be with your eyes closed. All these evidences are there. We ask Allah to allow us to see them. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا. Allah says, try your best, O people. All deeds will be ranked according to their... all will be ranked according to their deeds. Try your best. وَلِيُوَفِّيهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. We will requite them in full. We will pay them back in full. And they will not be wrong. Just, you know... you tried. These parents are not going to be like, they are not a lost case. Their case is Allah will give them what they have rightfully earned, and will show them mercy and do justice with whoever else who had turned away. Now, da'wah to Quraysh through Aad. Again, inviting Allah. Allah's inviting the people of Quraysh. Now he's going to talk about Aad, the Arab ancestors of Quraysh. Okay, Aad and Thamud are two Arab tribes, and Hud and Salih are two Arab prophets, ethnically Arab prophets. Like, you know, Ibrahim is not ethnically Arab, nor is, you know, Musa or Isa. They're not ethnically Arab. But Hud and Salih, alayhi salam, were ethnically Arab. They were the ancestors of the Quraysh. Quraysh and also the Arabian tribes in like Yemen and other places. So the Quran provides, details about these two tribes, because there is a clear, like, the history of the people, the precedent is there in their history, and that is something the Quran uses to invite the people to the worship of Allah, and also threaten them about what happens when people reject a prophet, right? The invitation and then threat both together. Also, the interesting thing about the Quran is the Quran provides details about these Arab prophets that were not known to the Jews and the Christians. The people of the scripture, they're not mentioned in the Bible, these two prophets. The people of the scripture did not know about them. So the Quran provides extra details that you don't find it providing about, like, say, Isa alayhi salam, because it's well known where Isa alayhi salam lived. Very well known. It doesn't provide extra details where Musa lived. Very well known where Musa lived. But for Hud, For example, it tells you who his people were, Ad, and where they lived. Ahqaf, Fasalih, who his people were, Thamud, and where they lived. Hijr. Right, so this is something that the Quran provides, and something that again shows you about the precision of the Quran, how precise it is, that it keeps its audience in mind. The audience that's immediate, the audience that is listening, you know, from afar, as in like a secondary audience, an audience that will become primary later on. All of that is considered and taken care of. How amazing and how beautiful is that? Now, bring us the punishment. They would say to their prophet, "Wathkur akha Adin," tell them about the brother of Ad. And again, notice how the prophets are called brothers of their community, because they are part of their community. They are brothers in humanity. Okay, Ad, the brother of that is Hud, alayhi salam. He warned the people. Ahqaf, the sand dunes. That's where they used to live in the Arabian Peninsula. And they had, gotten warnings before. And the message was, worship none but Allah. I fear that the punishment will be awful for you. Their response was, okay, bring the punishment. Right? فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Bring us the punishment that you threaten us with if you are truthful. He said, well, Allah only knows when it will come, and I delivered to you the message which I am sent with, but I see that you are ignorant people. This is something that what the Quraysh would say as well. The Quraysh would say, hey, Prophet, you're a prophet. Okay, bring this punishment thing that you're talking about. Okay, same demand. But Allah says, you know what? You don't want that demand to be fulfilled. Now, when it came, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا, when they saw it in the shape of a dense cloud approaching their valleys, they explained, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. This is a heavy cloud which will bring us welcome rain. They were looking forward to it because they lived in the desert areas. But it was said by Hud alayhi salam, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. By no means, it is the very same thing that you wanted to come fast. A blowing wind, bringing a grievous suffering. And when it did come, تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا, it destroyed everything at its Lord's behest. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. The only thing that could be left seen of them were their empty homes. This wind did not destroy their homes, destroyed everything and everyone. But the homes were left as a sign for those afterwards that there were people here and they were destroyed, and this is their remains. So take heed, كَذَلِكَ نَجَزِي الْقَوْمَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and thus we repay the evil doers. Be warned, O Quraysh, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ, we empowered them to an extent which we have not empowered you. Here again, you is Quraysh specifically. Again, generally anybody else, but the first audience here is Quraysh. And we had endowed them with hearing, sight, and hearts. But neither their hearing, nor their sight, nor their hearts were of the least avail to them. Helped them in the least since they went on rejecting God's revelations. And they were overwhelmed by the very thing that they thought was a joke. The punishment they thought was a joke, that is what, you know, dominated and overwhelmed them. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَىٰ. We have destroyed other towns that once flourished around you, O Quraysh. وَصَرَّفْنَا الْآيَاتِ, and we've given you various signs. عَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We gave them, various signs